Okay, finally, I am here. I'm sorry for a little bit late coming, but I was in discussion with Aris, and I forgot the time a little bit. I'm sorry. Let's stop this one and start lecture. Okay, so let's do it something with this. Okay. Today we have topic standards and institution in the part of CSR. We are still using this book, and this is our four lesson plan where we are now. So we are almost finished with your pensum book. We have only a few chapters which was not mentioned, and the rest of these chapters will be mentioned in the two last for a lesson in week 46 and 47. In these 2 weeks, 44 and 45, I was thinking I would like to invite somebody, like a guest lecturer, but it is not easy to find anybody who would like to come, but I'm working on this, and it depends. If something will happen, it could change a little bit for a lesson plan, that some lectures which are at the end can go a little bit up, so let's see, but I give you information. But if there will be no guest lecture like next week, I will take the lecture and I will tell you some stories about CSR examples, some history stories from some examples from history. So it will be interesting. But let's see if I get some guest lecture. I would like, because it will be interesting for you to have some examples from concrete companies or institutions. What we did last lecture, we was using this PDCA model, and I also prepared like short video for you how you can use this PDCA model in your obligatory obgabe. If you decided to change some actions in your company, you can use it like the example. So we are like finished with seminars which were concerning about topics which goes together with your obligatory obgabe. And what's happened now? This week there will be no special seminar, because I know you have a lot of enlevering from a lot of subject. So this day you can use for working on your obligatory obgabe. But if you would like to come and discuss what you should change, what should be inside on your obligatory obgabe, I will be in the room if there will be some students, or I will be in office during this time, and we can discuss. If you don't understand something, you would like to help with something, or just maybe get some inspiration for your work. And a little bit how it will be, how it will working. We put like the date of enlevering, like 1st of November. And if you can use Fronter, like upload your obligatory obgabe, it will be nice. And then it will be like the first part of your obligatory obgabe. And then will come like the second part of your obligatory obgabe, and it will be like evaluation of other work. And I prepare like easy evaluating schema for you, and I put it on Fronter. I hope I will do it to the Friday or during the weekend and prepare this for you. And if you send me your obligatory obgabe, then I choose one obligatory obgabe from other group and send it to you with this evaluating schema, or you can find this evaluating schema on Fronter, and you will make like evaluation of other other work, and then you will see what other students was writing, what, because you know, what did you write, and you can compare like the niveau, like the level of obligatoris obgave. So it will be like the second part, and then you can send me this evaluating schema back. Maybe we also will open like frontier room for this, and then I, during this time, I will reading your obligatoris obgave, and then I sent you like small commentar, what was inside good, what was not so good, and I just write you if you pass or not. So there is not scale from A to D, there is only pass or not. And after that, it will be around 11th of November. I hope I will be finished with everything, every reading of your obligatoris obgave. And then I will a little bit thinking which obligatoris obgave was interesting. And then I would like to invite this group of students in evening's time to present their work to for other students. But I will tell you which obligatoris obgave it will be and which day we will have this, like the small presentation. And then we can choose like Friday, or maybe we can do it here during the like half part of one lecture. We can decide it a little bit later. So it is about obligatoris obgave. If you have any question now, you can ask me or you can write emails and we can discuss. Do you have any questions now? Maybe not now, maybe later. Let's see. Okay, and go back to the lecture today. Today we are using Pensum book like the chapters 11, 12 or 13. It is not necessary to read this small chapter 11, 5.1 because it's about corruption, and Aris will have like the special lecture about corruption. It will be like the last one of the last lecture. In these three chapters, there is a lot of examples from Norwegian, and I'm not like the specialist on Norwegian economy, so I don't want to speak about something what I don't understand so much now. So it is much more easy to read, and it's easy to read this part of examples which are in this book. And I put here in these lectures a little bit more information about standard or institutions which are international, and they are not so much mentioned in this book, but I think they are very important according to this CSR concept also in Norway. It is not just for other lands, but also in Norway. And you will see also some examples from Norwegian economy. Okay, before I'm going to start to tell you some examples about standards from CSR, there is one part of a theory which is in your book. It's chapter 11. And I think the page was like 231 or something like that. So you can see this theory in your books. The theory which is described here, it is like the theory of institutions. And in this theory, it is one of economics theory. They are saying that the behaving of organizations are involved by some institutions, and they are saying that these institutions preparing like the rules for the game. So it is like the way how the company is deciding how they doing the things, and the institutions, it's like something which involve you to make the decision because they are preparing some rules of the game. One author which was concerning about this was Scott, and he prepared some more theory about this, and I will show you a little bit later. What does it mean, these institutions? We have some formal institutions and informal institutions. these formal institutions, it's about the law, it's about regulations, it's about the constitutions. So it is about like written rules how we should behave in economy. It's this type of institutions which makes these applications in economy. And also there is a lot of informal institutions, and it's like work practices, customs and traditions. It's like what's happened in the society. What is like the norm in the society? How the people or organizations are behaving. And these formal and informal institutions like helps or give the basic for the decisions which are made by organizations, by company or by individuals. And according to Scott, he was thinking that this type of institutions, they have like three main pillars what they are doing. The first one, the first pillar of this institution is like the regulative pillar, the second one is normative pillar, and the third one is like the culture and cognitive pillar. It means that if you have like the regulation pillar of any institutions, it's they are making the rules how you should behave. It's like, for example, if you are playing volleyball or handball, there are some rules how to play. Without these rules, you are not able to play volleyball and other team game. So it is the same in economy life. There are some rules how the company should behave, how they should do things, and there are some laws. They are like the regulations. And also, there is like the normative part of behaving. It's like, what is the best way how to behave? Where are the values? And normative institutions say what you should do to be the best, how you should behave. Examples of this normative pillar of some institution, it could be the standards of behaving, which I will speaking a little bit about later on. So if you have some standard, for example, ISO 26000, which is dealing about behaving according to CSR actions, so it is like the norm, the way how you should behave, and you can behave according to this to reach the value. And the last one is like culture cognitive pillar, and it's about behaving in different cultures, because the world have different type of cultures, and if you behave some way in one culture, it is not good if you behave the same in a different type of culture. So it is this type of institutions saying like what is the way how to behaving in the in this culture where you are. So there are some the way the pillars how the institutions can prepare like the rules of the game for any actions. So if you would like to read about this theory in Norwegian, you can use your book. There are also some good examples, so you can use this page 232. Now I'm finished like with this theory, like with the beginning of the thinking, and then I show you some examples of some institutions or some norms which setting the rules of the games according to CSR. One of this organization is International Labour Organization. This is an organization which is concerning about work, about conditions in work. And I will try to use short video, but first I have to check if I can be connected on internet. And then I have to check if the voice will be enough from this. And then I show like 5 minutes video about description of this organization. But let's see first internet connection. Yeah. Last time it was like this, I think. it was needed some password, but it's not working. Connected. Okay, so let's see. Okay, and then we can use this link which I put here. Let's try it like this and try to see like 5 minutes video if the voice will be enough. This is a web page of this organization and I will try. Okay, so it's, you can see the example of some institutions which gave some the way of rules how the companies or like whole world should behave, and they like promote the good way of behaving in the part of work. It is the part of social part of CSR of the company. And you also see the example how they're working with these sustainability indicators, which Aris showed to you, that they decided to choose one. It was like 8, I don't know, decent work. And they are concerning about this goal, and they are doing all actions in this. So also, if you are using this, for example, in your obligatory obgave, you can choose one of these indicators, which is corresponding with your company, and you can prepare some action plan and what they could do according to this, according what the institutions in the world saying about this sustainability indicators in concrete way. And I mentioned this organization because there is also one organization in Norway which are in a connection with this, and it is also in the book. It's called only LO. So you can read it in your book. But I said I'm not the specialist for the Norwegian one, so I don't want to speak. I don't want to make mistakes. And also this organization doing a lot of research. You can read some interesting research, but I was reading about this organization and trying to get some interesting data. And I get 2 interesting graphs, which are about the young people and about unemployment. It was interesting reading. It's more than 100 pages about the unemployment young people all around the world. And there was an interesting table, and it was about the willingness to change the land when you are growing after you are like between 15 and 29 and you would like to starting your life. And it was interesting that more than 30 people all around the world in this age, they would like to change the land where they are living. And also if you go a little bit more, maybe it's not good to read it here, but in your presentation you can read it a little bit more. I will put it a little bit bigger. Sorry. And there was also I was a little bit interested about this a little bit more, and you can see this type of graph. I think that you was using this type of graph in Videregående Metode Kurs. It is the way how you can describe something which is average and what is like minimum and maximum. And according to this graph, you can see, for example, the sub-Saharan Africa. There's like the huge spread between what is minimum and what is maximum. And you can see that people which are living on Madagascar in this age, they don't want to move from this place. And if you see from Sierra Leone, they would like to move. And why? Because of the conflicts which are in the land. And also it's interesting to see other countries or other type of continents. And you can see, for example, North America. There are still people, maybe it could be like 10%, 12%, they would like to change their country because of the unemployment or because of the better job. So it is just the example what this organization doing. They are setting some rules, and they are also doing a lot of interesting research, and you can use some data for your not obligatory obgave for next obgavers or bachelor obgave or something like that. And some concrete example from company. So if you are like the company and you have a lot of like young employees, and maybe you find out that these young employees, they would like to travel around the world and get more experience, and you are like the international company and you have some branch in North America, in Africa, or I don't know where, you can prepare concrete action according to this topic, and it's called Expatriate Program. This Expatriate Program is about that you have like the employee, for example, in Norway, and you decided to send him for 1 year or 2 years to your branch in, I don't know, London or United States, and he is the still employee of the Norway, but he is just spending 1 or 2 years in other land, and then probably he is going back, getting like more experience, getting like life experience, and he is satisfied and starting to be more loyal for your company. It could be like the concrete example of some companies. And if I can give you some recommendation here from this region, for example, if you know Raufosspark, if you know the company which is called Benteler, they are using this program. And now one Norwegian guy is spending 3 years in Czech Republic because they have the branch. And also my husband was sent here to Norway and he is spending a few years here in Norway. So it is the example of concrete action which can happen in concrete company, in the company level. Now we are going back from company level to some institutions level, and it is an example of other organization which is doing some standards, and it is ISO, International Organization for Standardization. I also put here like 3 minutes video. Is it okay to use these videos? It is just 3 minutes, not more, but I think it's interesting. Yes. Is it this one? No. Maybe it's not working like full screen. Yeah, okay, you didn't see it. Okay, sorry. Because I see it here. So maybe it's like the connection between here and here. Because I was seeing the video. I'm sorry, I didn't see. I'm sorry. I was trying to put it like full screen, but here is writing that it's not possible. Okay, so this is like the next example of organization, which is like independent organization and preparing the voluntary standards which can be implemented in your company. And according to CSR, they have like 2 standards which company can use. But before I am going to speak about these standards, just to know that they have more than 21,000 of different type of standards. So it is not just about CSR. This is like the standard organization which is preparing standard for everything. You on the video you see a lot of numbers and a lot of different ISO standard, and it's more than 21,000 of standards. So it's a lot of. And according to CSR, there are two. It's ISO 40001 and ISO 26000. Before I am going to start to speak about this, I give you example one of ISO standard which is most used all around the world according the quality in organization. I'm sure that you know this ISO standard. You heard this ISO 9001 in somewhere. So it is like the most applicable standards in company level. And it is about the quality of products and how you say to your customers that you are trying to have a quality on your production, how to perform this. But we are going more to this CSR part. And in ISO institution, they have one ISO standard, which is called 14001. And it's a standard about environmental management system. And there are some requirements on your environmental profile in your company. So if you would like to say to your stakeholders, to your suppliers, to anybody, that you are trying to behave environmentally friendly, or you have like environmental management in your company, you can use this standard, because according to this, there will came like somebody else, like some certification institution, and say, yes, this organization is behaving according to ISO 40001, and you are getting some certificate about this behaving. So this is like the example from this environmental part of corporate social responsibility. But this standard, this ISO 26000, it is not like the standard that somebody can came and give you the stamp or certificate that you have you implement corporate social responsibility in your organization, because it is just the guidance. It is just the way how you should behave. So this is very important to know that ISO also preparing some standards which are without certification. And this is the example of this, and it is ISO 26000. And this guidance, this document, guiding you as a company how to use, how to thinking about CSR in your company. I'm going to spend a little bit more time with this and see what is new, what is different according to the theory of CSR. ISO, what is new according to this guidance? The new way is that according to this guidance, they are not using term corporate social responsibility. They are using term social responsibility. And this is what we were speaking before. There is not one concrete definition which is used all around the world according to CSR concept. So if you're preparing some document like this, you should prepare your definition. How do you understand the topic? And there put like the definition of social responsibility. So they put away this corporate social responsibility. And they put away this corporate social responsibility because this standard is not just for the companies, like for the corporates. It is also for non-governmental organization. It could be for cities, it could be for governments, for everybody. So they decided not to use this term corporate social responsibility, because this concept corporate social responsibility is more on the business level. How they are describing social responsibility, you can read the text, but finally they are still concerning about this society about environment and about economy, but they are not divided strictly like we know from the triple bottom line concept, like economy part, social part, and environmental part. They are a little bit mixed, these three concepts together. But if you read the very concrete, you see that there is like the society, there is environment, transparent and ethical behaviors. So the meaning is there, but they are not dividing like these three parts according to the theory. They put a little bit different parts, and I will show you later which parts. But they are still speaking about stakeholders and about engagement and know what the stakeholders are thinking. So it is the same. We are speaking about the stakeholders and how to engage, how to implement their thinking in your organization. So the first different, what is new, is like definition of social responsibility. The second one, which is new and what is important to mention, and I already mentioned that this guidance is not able to be certificate. There is nobody who can come to your company and see your company is certificated according ISO 26000. And this is a little bit problematic because people which are using this ISO standard and which are using before ISO 19001 about the quality and ISO 14001 according to environment, they would like to have more standards or certificates. But this guidance has no certification. And the third point is that this guidance is not just for companies, but it is also for other type of organizations. And the fourth part, and it is not about what is in the ISO, what is in this document, but this is about how was this document developed. This document was developed in a new way. It was developed like a multi-stakeholder process. What does it mean? ISO organization was decided to prepare such a guidance according to this topic, and they decided not to do it alone. They decided to invite stakeholders and make this document together. And they started this multi-stakeholder process, and it takes time. They started thinking about ISO 26000 in 2005, but it was published in 2010. So it takes 5 years to prepare this document. There was more than 450 people which was involved in this process of preparing ISO standard, more than 99 countries, and more than 40 international organizations. So it takes a lot of time to prepare such a document. And according to Norway, there was one institution which was the part of this process, and it was Standard Norge. So there was invite to this multiple stakeholder process to prepare this guidance. But it was organizations, non-governmental, industry, companies, a lot of so more than 450 experts was invited. And finally, they prepare 100 pages document. If you are interested about this document, how the document is look like, you can using this draft. It is not the original version, because original version you have to buy. It's necessary to open the ISO web page and buy the document, this 100 page. But it is voluntary to use this link, and it is like almost the finished version. It is like the draft. It is something what was before. So you can go through it if you are interested what is inside, how it is describing. And I'm going very fast. That is like the structure of ISO. It is not important to spend the time with this now, but I would like to spend a little bit time with this picture. This is like the picture of the topics which they decided that they will be concerning in this ISO part. According to the theory which I described to you, we was using this triple bottom line: economy part, environmental part, and social part, and some examples in these three parts. They decided not to use this concept, triple bottom lines. They just pick these topics which are here in this picture, and these topics are concerning in the ISO 26 guidance. So if you go through it and read it, it's more about the social part of triple bottom line. It's like human rights, labor practice, fair operations, and Brexit. This is more about economy part. Consumer issues, it's again more economy part. Environment, it's more this environmental part, but they are not using so much environment in this ISO 26000 because they have ISO 14001, which has certification. So this part is not so much describing in this. Community involvement and development, it's again more social part. So you can see that whole concept of ISO 26000 is more than like social part of triple bottom line, a little bit economy part, and less environmental part. So this is like the topics which are in ISO 26000. And here, according to ISO 26000, they prepare some principles how the company should behave, like what is good, like the norms of behaving, like accountability, transparency, ethical behavior, respect of stakeholder interest, respect for the rule of law, respect for international norms on behavior, and respect for human rights. So it is like the principles how the companies should behave. And last slide from this description of ISO 26000, it is like the complete structure of this 100 pages for the interested people who would like to read it. And you can see there are this the topics, there are the small circles, here there are these principles which I mentioned, and here this model, it's a little bit like PDCA model, but it's not so concrete, but it is like how to implement this in the company. But it is not so concrete how we would like to have. It is not the way how the company should do it in concrete way. It is more like theoretic thinking and preparing like framework for this. If I can say what is positive on this ISO 26000, it's good that there is some standard which is trying to say some terminology, some terms, a little bit clear what is social responsibility. I'm sorry. So it is like the complex view about this. And what is also positive, this multiple stakeholder process of preparing this ISO guidance, because if stakeholders preparing this document, they also accept this document. It is like what should be. It's like positive false. The negative false, I'm a little bit skeptic about this certifications. Because sometimes if you open the web page of some companies, you can read, we implement CSR according 26000. And ISO know that sometimes a company could use this standard and put it like the information for stakeholders in not correct way. So they prepare like the list how the company can write concrete sentences, how they can put it on the web page if they are was reading and dealing with ISO 26000. And it is a little bit go with the greenwashing. Greenwashing means that company is trying to be more better in performance than they are. They are a little bit painting on green, and sometimes you can see a lot of nice pictures and sustainability reports, but if you're going deep in concrete actions, you find out that it's not like it is. And I'm going to spend a little bit about the greenwashing and some examples in one of next lectures, like the examples of CSR in some companies. So this is a little bit what I'm a little bit skeptic about, not certification. But I understand it is not easy to certificate topic such CSR is, because it's a voluntary topic. And also, I'm a little bit feeling that it is not easy to read. These 100 pages, the aim was that this standard should be used in each organization, small organization, huge organization, in every place, and it is not easy to read. And also, is the organization a little bit working on this? Because each standard or each guidance which they publish, they change after 4, 5 years. This standard will be changed each 3 years a little bit. And this is like, again, in the standard, it's not clear, say, the connection between other standards. And also, is the organization working on this? And if you open their web page, they have like, how does it going together ISO and this GRA we were speaking about, a global report initiative together, and so on. So they are working on this negative part. Now, we are going to have a break, and then we are going to continue. So 15 minutes, and then we are going to continue. I'm sorry, I'm 5 minutes because I start a little bit later, but now 15 minutes break. We have after pause, or we can continue. So we finish with ISO, like the negative faults of this ISO. And what is new in ISO organization, what they are preparing according to this topic in the future. It's new ISO, which will be about sustainable procurement. It's now under development. And the new one will be about bribery, anti-bribery management. So this organization is still interesting about sustainable development and using concrete ISO guidance, or I don't know if this will be like the standards with certification or what will be, we will see. But this is like the future about this topic according to ISO. Now I would like to show you something which is concerning about my job, because you know that each Lehrer, it's not just the Lehrer, it's also like the researcher. And each teacher should have like the interest, like the research topic. And I was writing my master thesis, which was concerning about communication of company in a regional level. I had a case of Škoda car company, how they communicate with the region, which type of actions they have. Then I was writing my doctoral thesis, and it was about social part of CSR. And then I was thinking what I would like to do more, and I was finding that I would like to concerning about ISO 26000, about this topic. How is this guidance used in the real companies, in the real world? And I get like the idea that I would like to know what the company is thinking about this guidance before this guidance is published. And I prepared some research, which was in 2010, and it was concerning about 100 top companies in some countries. And then I would like to know what they are thinking about ISO 26000 before this ISO is published. I chose the Czech Republic, Norway, Sweden, Spain, Germany, France, and Poland. Why I decided to choose these countries? Because I would like to know some examples from like the North Europe, then some examples like from the Middle Europe, and then some examples from the like south of Europe. But it was a little bit optimistic to prepare such a huge research with not so much money support. So I was working on this topic with some students, and there were some students which was writing some research articles with me together. And also there was one student which was working one master thesis according to this topic in Sweden, because he was Czech students and he's spending 1 year like Erasmus students in Sweden, and he prepared this case according to his master thesis. So the research was about how the companies dealing about ISO 26000 before it's published. And here you can see that it is not easy to get the answers from the questions back, because we was using normal way. We have like prepared like 3 pages question marks, send it by the email, and waiting for the answer. And it is not easy to get the answer. And if you have more money, you can call, or you can go and make a like interview, and then you can get more answers. So the research is a little bit limited according the money support. But you can see we were concerning about Czech Republic, Sweden, Norway, Spain, Germany, and Poland, and France. And you can see that the level of questionnaire which goes back was not so high. But then after that, we decided to continue only with some countries which we have a little bit more questions back. And you can see also that the number of received answers and answers suitable for reprocessing are a little bit less, especially in Germany. They respond a lot, but they was like, we don't want to answer for this question mark, because this is like a secret topic speaking about this information which are in the question mark. So also you can get this type of information. So just, this is just for you. Now, if you are preparing like the bachelor obgave, not to be stressed. You are planning to get like a lot of answers, and finally it's not easy to get the answers back. One type of question was about if the companies know about ISO 26000 before it's published. So, and it was interesting that a lot of companies know what this standard will be about. But what is more interesting, if you see the Sweden case, there is like 50% companies know about the standards before, and almost 50 know anything. But the interesting on this point is that ISO decided to choose Swedish organization and Brazilian organization, which lead the whole process of implementation ISO 26000. So this was a little bit interesting answer what we get. This was like the interest, if you would like to implement the standard after it will be published. And you can see that companies was like, yes, maybe, maybe not. But the interesting results came from Norway. There was like 9 companies. They said, no, we are never going to use and implement this type of guidance in our economy. So the results from this research was that the companies are prepared, but they are not interesting about this topic according to ISO 26000 before it is published. And now there is like the question, what's happened? What will be happened now? And I am like thinking to prepare like the same research which was done in 2010, because now it will be like 2017. So it's like 7 years after publishing of ISO 26000. And I have like the question, does these companies use this standard or not? And how? Did they like it? Did they implement or not? To get the answer if really this standard, not the guidance, help the concrete companies in their decisions or not. And I am decided to prepare like the research in only on Norway or in Czech Republic, because I can have like the contacts, and it will not take so much time and money to prepare this type of research. And I'm able to do this. But if there will be any students which would like to help me and preparing like the bachelor obgave or other obgave according the topic, we can starting to cooperate together and preparing this type of research, because you can continue in what was saying in this Wiedergående Methode, and you can use it according to your bachelor obgave also. But it's just the proposal. And now I started with this topic, and I'm preparing like the literature review according what was written about ISO 26000 between 2006 and 2016. And it's interesting that according to these 10 years was published more than 150 research articles, but all of these articles are about the process of preparing ISO 26000, about this multi-stakeholders process. Then there is like the other set of articles which are about, I have like one company and trying to use ISO 26000 and measure if they are doing the things. But there is no articles which are concerning about like approach of companies, how they are using this guidance, if they are using this guidance. So nobody know very concrete way how is this guidance used in a real world, in a real companies and so on. So, and this is like the main idea and research questions, and then I should prepare some hypothesis about this topic. So this is like the second part of be like the Universität Lehrer, have some research topic, and this is like the topic which I'm concerning now about. but stop about this, but I think it could be interesting, and if you would like to read more, I can give you some articles which was written before, but the limitation of these articles that only one was written in English, other was written in Czech language, and I'm not supposed, you are probably not supposed to read this, but it is just okay. And let's continue. So we was finished with this ISO organization, and they're preparing some ISO standards or guidance to corporate social responsibility. And now I prepare for you more examples. It is not the list of all, but this is also one important or famous company use this standard, and it is SA 8000. It's like a social accountability, and this standard is about the social part of triple bottom line, and it's about working conditions, working hours, and how you as a company dealing with employees. So, and this standard going from ILO principles. So now you can see you are like the company, and you would like to tell to your stakeholders or procurement that I am behaving good according to employees, and you can use this standard for performance to say I am behaving good in this part of CSR. And this standard is also using the certification process, so you can get the certificate as a company. And you can promote this certificate on your webpage or sustainability reports. But this standard is, you can, I'm not going to read it, it's like the examples if you are interested about this. This standard is more about working condition in third world. If you are, for example, company which is producing things in Europe, you are doing everything what is in the standard, like the normal way, because there is strong law in European countries according to working conditions. There are also strong normative institutions which saying what is good, how you should behave. And there is also this culture behaving what is like the normal. That, for example, your child, if you have any, not going to the work, it's not possible. It's like you are not working 17 hours in your working day, so it is not possible. So this standard is more used in global organization which producing their things in the countries where the law or institutions are not so strong, and the company would like to say I have the same type of conditions in working condition in each hour branches all around the world. So this is the example which type of companies can use and use this type of standards. It will be funny, for example, if I using this expatriate concept and you are working in Norway, and then company sent you to India and say to you, now you should working according to Indian rules, 17 hours, no air in your office, and so on. So you will not going to work in this part of condition. So the company using this standard to saying we are behaving good according to working condition. If you are interested about this, I put here again link. You can read more about this concept and using in a concrete way. Next one is accountability, AA1000, and this standards or the principles how you should behave is divided in three parts, and you can choose a lot of different way how you promote that you are behaving good way. And if you are, for example, interesting as a company about this stakeholder engagement, and if you would like to promote and say that you are behaving and you are using stakeholders as a part of your company, and they are probably making like the decision with you together, you can use the last series, like the stakeholder engagement, which is said who is your stakeholder and how you should cooperate with them. And we were speaking about this a little bit before. And then I can continue, give you more and other more examples of different initiative or institutions which preparing some rules how the companies or organization or whole institution should behave. We were speaking about Global Reporting Initiative, this GRA reporting G4, and Aris was speaking about this United Nations Global Compact and about this sustainable indicators. So the company, if they would like to say and if they would like to have some standards or certification, they can use also something. There are some examples. And now, going to a little bit different way, I would like to present something about the organization, which is CSR Europe. This organization, it's like leading European business network of corporate social responsibility. So this organization is not about the writing some standards or give some norms how you should behave. This is like the group where meets like companies which they are doing CSR and trying to find some way how to promote this topic all around the world or in different type of organization. If you are interesting, again, a little bit about this concept, CSR Europe, you can read it. But I tried to find the case from Norway, because CSR Europe, it is like the organization which a lot of organizations from different nations have the part here, and then in the nation level, there are companies which are the part of this organization. And this example from Norway, it is like CSR Norway. So CSR Norway is the part of CSR Europe. And CSR Norway should be like the organization where like the companies, concrete companies, meeting together and discussing the topic and application according to Norwegian economy. But I try a little bit to read about this organization, what they are doing, what they are not doing. And there is a little bit about the history, that this institution was created in 1996. And before the name was like Green Business Network Norway. And this organization was actually starting in 1994 according Olympic Games in Lillehammer, Hamarjovik, because there was like a lot of company which was working on this project. And after that, they were thinking maybe we can continue and prepare some platform like for whole Norway. And they prepared this Green Business Network company. And from 2010, I think, it was changed the name like CSR Norway, and it was the part of CSR Europe. And then I go a little bit later on in the history of this organization. And now this organization is not more exist, because this organization was supported by organization Norgesvel. I never heard about this organization before. Maybe you can give me like the example of what this organization is doing. Do you know this organization Norgesvel? It is some national organization, like I have to a little bit check more. Maybe we can check it a little bit together. And they before paid the actions of CSR Norway, but in 2012 they stopped with the financing, and there was not a lot of money to finance such of organization, and they take all actions under this organization. Maybe we can go together and a little bit check what this organization is about, because this is like very important organization according to CSR concept in Norway. I have to open like this way. Maybe after then you will, maybe you tell me What does it mean? What they are doing? Do you know this type? Oh, it's again not see anything. I'm sorry. I don't know why I have to close this and this. Oh my god, this. Okay, here. Norgeswell. Have you ever heard about this organization? Yes, I can read. I can read what this is. But I was a little bit interesting if you know anything like the students. No? I can. Om As. Mm-hmm. It's very old organization, so I was a little bit thinking, is anybody is... Okay, so maybe it could be like the homework for you to read about this organization. Anzote? Mm-hmm. This one? I can read it, I have no problem, but I was a little bit like interesting if you know this type of organization. Okay, so maybe it could be like the homework for you to go through it and a little bit understand what they are doing. And I was a little bit thinking to invite somebody from this organization coming here and speaking about CSR, how it is with CSR in Norway. But I will try. But if I'm trying, sometimes it's a little bit, how to say it, writing the emails, we are here, we would like to invite you, and they don't have a time, and you know, but maybe I can try to invite somebody from this organization to tell us like the example from the Norwegian economy. It will be nice, probably. So I will do it today. not tomorrow, today. I will going to try to invite somebody from these people coming here. So this organization now takes or actions which was CSR Norway before, and they are the part of the CSR Europe. It was like the example. And now going back to our lecture, because I have for you like the last slide, but I would like to spend a little bit more time with this. It's again at the beginning. A lot of clicks. We did a lot. Okay. I would like a little bit spend time with this table, because we are still using like some examples, some standards on some type of behavior, how the company should do this and this. And in this table, you can see like the steps of CSR, how you can start as a company and how you can move from one point to other point. There is like the table which is saying, if the company is interesting only about company things, about the profit, about the thing what they are just doing, the core of the business, so they are here in the company, like company and company level. But it's okay. It is the core. If you are doing the business, you should reach the profit, but you should do. You should do the core of your business. So run a good business. It is like the first step. The second step is that you are trying to thinking, I should give back something to the society. So it is, you are moving a little bit from the company level, like from the company interest to the community. You are starting to interesting about community, trying to give some back. Then you are trying maybe doing the more, be more responsible according to community. So you are moving a little bit up. It's this part is called like a be a good neighbor. We was using this type of be a good neighbor according to term corporate citizenships. Maybe you remember. So it is that you're trying to support local community. You are preparing some philanthropy actions. You are trying to involve your employees in these actions, preparing some actions between employees and the community and so on. So like be a good neighbor. The next step is that you are moving from the company level, from the community level, to the industry level, that you are trying to involve like whole industry where you're producing your products or have like services of your products. And you are trying to be like a good example, like be a good company that all companies in this industry would like to behave the same, like be a good good company. So it's like the next step is transform an industry. So you are trying, the first was the be a beacon to others. It's here, then it's like the transfer. So this is like about the be a good example for others, that others say, okay, they are doing the things like that. Maybe it's good. We can do it the same. And then you are the next step in this part in industry. It's like the transform an industry, trying to change not just me, but whole industry as a whole. Maybe find some new inventions, new innovations, which can help not just me, but all industry as a whole, and use these inventions and innovation in your industry level. So you are moving here, and it's about transform an industry. Here is written like the example, develop code of conduct for the industry, build strong coalitions to affect and enforce them. So it's like be the member, be the company which is trying to make the industry better as a whole. And the last step according this way of thinking of CSR, it's moving from company, community, from industry to world level, and trying to transform multiple industries. It's like not just my industry trying to involve, but trying to involve whole economy, whole business, whole world. And if you see this type of way of thinking about the CSR, you know, if you are like the company which have like one employee or two employees, and it's not easy to move like from this points to this, to change the world as a whole, to preparing the standards. But you can be initiative, you can be the part of this, you can use it. It's whole CSR concept is about the voluntary decision, and if the company feel that it helps them, and if it helps the society, they can use it much more effectively. So this concept is used, for example, if you are like a global company. Because if you check like the economy data, some global companies, they are earning more money than some nations in the world. And they have strong impact and they have strong power to change the things. So they can be much more easy in this part, and they can starting to doing things not just for themselves, but trying to change the world. It seems nice, but it's not easy to do it. But why I am using this table here? Because you can use this table in your obligatory obgave and thinking about your case company. Where is your company? Is it here? They are doing things only in a company level, or trying to they a little bit help the community, or trying they involve industry, or something more. So you can put your company in this table, like an example where you are thinking your case company is. And for example, if you find that the company is only in this part, you can recommend them some changes if they would like to change from this part, because it's about the voluntary decision. And in your obligatory obgave, you can use what you would like to tell them. It's not that they have to do it. It is like the, your recommendation according to this concept. And this is like the last slide, what we was doing. Whole lecture today, we was spending the time about some institutions, about some standards, which helps like companies to find the good way how they should, how they could behave to be like the social responsibly. But before I'm going to stop, I'm going to show you something what I will use and put it on Fronter, because there are some, they're starting some emails with like what should be in this part of obligatory obgave, what should be in this part. What should be in each part, it's up to you. You decided what should be in the part of obligatory obgave. But during the whole seminars which was done before, I was using my case company. I choose for the Linet company and prepare like the examples in each part of your obligatory obgave, like the inspiration, what it could be inside. And it was like 7 seminars about this topic, but now I prepare for you one presentation. The name is like Case Company Linet. This presentation will have like 56 slides. It seems to be a lot, but it's not a lot of text on the slides. And it is like the inspiration for your obligatory obgave, how you should write or what you can write in each part. So now this is the list of your obligatory obgave, and there are some parts. And here I put like first part, description of company. You should have like 3 pages, and they are like the inspiration for you in some slides, how you should or how you could, no should, how you could deal with this part of your obligatory obgave. So I will put this presentation, I hope today, on your Fronter room, and you can use it like the inspiration, and it can help you with your work. But it is not necessary to use everything what is here. You can do it completely different, your own way. It's up to you. It's your obligatory obgave. Okay, I'm going to stop now. If there are any questions according the lectures, what was done today, if there are any questions according to obligatory obgave, no. So if there are no questions, thank you for your attention and see you on Friday if you would like discuss your obligatory obgave, or next Wednesday here in Ko at 102. Tu sem tak. Vises.